بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسل الله تعالى بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا داعيا إلى الله بإذنه وسراجا منيرا. فقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وقال نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. My dear brothers and elders and sisters, as we mentioned in the last Jum'ah about what will get us freedom from the fire and entry into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in the ayah which I just recited, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Have, O you believe, have the taqwa of Allah and always speak the truth. And then what will happen? يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ عَمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will guide you and direct you to righteous deeds, and he will forgive your sins. If you have his taqwa, and if you speak the truth, and the best and the biggest and the first of the truth is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will direct you to doing righteous deeds, good deeds, and he will forgive your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Allah said, and only the one who obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, only that person has indeed فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Only that person has achieved the final success. So how do we get freedom from the fire and enter into Jannah? By having taqwa, by speaking the truth, and by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised his help for those who obey him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said that he will direct them to do the deeds that please him. He will open the doors for them for that, and he will forgive mistakes and sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease the path to Jannah inshallah and save that person from the hellfire, because that person is making an effort to please Allah by following the sunnah of his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those people. The first thing to understand is that taqwa, what is the meaning of taqwa? Taqwa is to be concerned with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa is usually translated as fear of Allah. Taqwa is not fear of Allah. Taqwa is fear of offending Allah, who I love the most. I'm saying it is not fear of Allah because fear is a negative emotion. When you fear something, you hate it. People who fear snakes don't love snakes. People who fear, ask your child who goes to a school, if the child fears a teacher, the child doesn't love that teacher. So you ask the child, do you fear the teacher? Yes, I'm afraid of this teacher. Do you obey the teacher? Yes. Why do you obey the teacher? Because he will beat me or something. But do you love the teacher? No, I don't love the teacher. Do you like going to that class? No, I don't like going to that class. It is a human, natural human emotion. Anything you fear, you hate. Nobody loves things that they fear. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, said about the believers. What did he say about the believers? The quality of the believers. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَّدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. They don't just love Allah. Allah said, and the believers are those who, they don't just love Allah, they love Allah أَشَّدُّ. the superlative form of Shadid. They love Allah and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than they love anyone or anything else. There is nobody or nothing that they love more than they love Allah. This is the quality of the believer. So where is the question of fear? So what is he fearing? Because there is the word khashya is also there. Therefore, fear is not fear of Allah. It is fear of offending the one who I love the most. So therefore, taqwa is this beautiful concept which combines love and fear together. And that's only in this concept of taqwa. So the more I love Allah, the more I will fear offending Him. The more obedient I will become to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the reason why to develop taqwa, we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. We need to know about Allah and we need to know Allah. These are also two different things. I'm not going into that here, maybe later inshallah. Knowing about somebody and knowing somebody are two different things. We need both with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to know about Allah, and I also need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up here, down here in my heart. And when I do that, the more I love Allah, the more I will fear offending Him. I don't want to offend my Rabb, not because I'm afraid of Jahannam. I'm afraid of Jahannam, obviously, but not that's not the reason. The reason is I love Him so much that there's no way that I want to do anything which He will dislike. So the more I know Allah, the more I love Allah, the more obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala I will become. And alhamdulillah, Allah did not leave that. Allah didn't leave the standard of obedience for us to discover and describe for ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us that standard of obedience to a level of excellence and perfection called the Sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. So for in any matter, therefore, in any matter in my life, if I want to ask myself, what is the standard that I want? For example, my salah, I want my salah to be such that I have 100% total khushu, that I want to have a concentration to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that I want to pray as if I am seeing Him. What is the standard? The salah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This deen is so beautiful because it is so clear. There's no mystery in Islam. Everything is clear. Every single one of us can aspire to be the best. We are not dependent on anybody. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it absolutely clear in His kitab, bil qawl, and in the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu bil fa'il. The seerah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the living manifestation of the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, this is not my statement, this is a statement of Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radhiyallahu anha. My brothers and sisters, this brings us to a very beautiful concept, which is a single point, which is, what is the single criterion that any Muslim will use for any decision, small or big? Anything I say, anything I do, must be based on what? Does it please Allah? That's it. No complication. Does it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whatever it might be, my business, my relationship with my spouse, my relationship with my parents, children, the games I play, the TV I watch, the books I read, where I go, where I don't go, what I do, what I don't do, for every single conceivable thing, only one question, only one criterion for decision making, and that is what? Does it please Allah? That's it. What can be simpler than that? So if I ask this question, does it please Allah, I can get one of three answers. First answer, yes, it pleases Allah, alhamdulillah, go ahead, do it. Two, no, it doesn't please Allah, therefore I will not do it no matter what. Number three, I don't know. This particular matter, I don't. Does it please? Does it not? I don't know. So what must I do? Go find out. Ask somebody who knows, then do according to the answer that you get. Very, very important. Ibadah means to obey. To obey means to make choices based on the pleasure of the one we obey. To obey also means that sometimes that choice may not be what I want to do. But I will still do it because it pleases the one I want to obey, because my concept is I want to please him. As Muhammad Ali rahmatullah alayhi, the boxer, he said, if anyone tells me that he likes to go to the gym, I will tell him he is lying. He said, nobody likes to go to the gym. You go to the gym because you know unless you go to the gym, you will lose in the ring. You want to win in the ring, you have to go to the gym. That is the meaning of obedience. That is the meaning of obedience. It doesn't mean that every time this has to happen. But it means that selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance. Because we are superimposing our will on the will of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made 5 things fard. I say, thing number 1, yeah, fine, no problem. Number 2, no, sorry, I'm not going to do that. I don't like it. Number 3 is okay. Now what? So whose will is working here? In my will, not Allah's will. That's why everybody likes to quote the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, eat sweet. Huh? Because I like to eat sweets. But what about the other sunnah? How to treat my wife? And you know, that's kind of tough, right? How to treat my spouse? How to behave with somebody who abuses me? This is also the sunnah. What must I do? How to behave with somebody who is unjust and unfair with me? Rasulullah said, if somebody is unjust to, if somebody behaves with you unjustly, you do not behave with that person unjustly. He said, give to those who deny you. That's a lot more difficult than eating sweets. I'm following the sunnah. MashaAllah, I eat sweets. And what else? This is the meaning. This is the whole meaning. And selective obedience, therefore, is disobedience. That is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu udkhulu fi silmi kafatan wa la tattabi'u khutwati shaitan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. The ayah is addressed to the believers. And Allah is saying, oh, you who believe, enter into Islam fully. What's the meaning? I'm already a believer. I'm a Muslim. I have entered Islam. What's the meaning? Enter into Islam fully. So obviously there is a meaning. I mean, why would Allah say that if that wasn't the case? It means enter into Islam fully means let Islam enter into every aspect of your life. It's not only in the masjid, it is not only in this place or that place. Let Islam enter into every aspect of your life. Let every decision you make be based on whether it pleases Allah or not. It doesn't matter who else it pleases or doesn't please. You know, and I know that we know, and may Allah not make us among those, but we know Muslims who display completely, you know, a dichotomous behavior, totally opposite behavior in the masjid in one way, outside in one way. We talk about helping each other. We were having a conversation. Bilal and I were talking about coming from home. We were talking about the hadith from Rasulullah Sallam, where he said every Muslim is responsible, every member of the Ummah is responsible for the whole Ummah, and the whole Ummah is responsible for every member. Meaning what? Meaning if your brother needs help, you help. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu was sitting in Masjid al-Nabawi al-Sharif in Aitikaf. A man came, he saw him there, he said, oh my God, you are here. He said, what's wrong with that? Why should I not be here? He said, no. He said, I wanted to take you to make shafaat for me, to intercede for me with somebody who I borrowed some money from and I can't return it to him just now. I thought I will take you along for you to, you know, put in a good word for me, but now you are in Aitikaf, you can't go anywhere. He said, no, I'll come with you. He said, you will break your Aitikaf? He said, yes. He said, how will you make your Aitikaf? He said, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that to help a brother is more beneficial than being in Aitikaf for 1 month in the masjid. So I will come back and do my ethic. I have no problem. I break it. I do it. I repeat that. But this is to help you is more important than this, than ibadah. What is our attitude about helping each other? It's very easy to say. The hadith of Rasulullah, your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. But is this how we look at each other? Is this how we look at when we have to give things to each other? We have been talking about, I don't know if the problem still remains or not, hopefully it's gone, but we have been talking about people dumping stuff outside the masjid. Whether to call it garbage or not, I don't know, but definitely it's stuff which is unwanted, which is almost unusable. Does it reflect this? You want for your brother what you want for yourself. You didn't want that stuff for yourself, so you bring it and dump it in the masjid to be given to somebody. You didn't, imagine, well, what kind of thing is this? Remember, all of this is not just talk. This is not just, I memorize some hadith or meaning and I tell you or you tell each other. No. We will be held accountable for this because that is the standard. That is the standard. So if I'm giving something in charity, if I'm giving something which is essentially trash as far as I'm concerned, then I must think 10 times or 100,000 times and say, what will I answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, want for your brother what you want for yourself. I don't want this thing for myself. I'm throwing it and I want to throw it in your direction. So you pick it up. What is that? That is the issue of the difference between living Islam and talking about Islam. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say about weddings, for example? How should a wedding be conducted? How do we conduct weddings? Do we follow the sunnah? And if we don't follow the sunnah, then what's the dalil for not following the sunnah? This is the whole meaning of وَمَنْ يُطِي اللَّهَ وَيَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، قال تعالى إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't bring different flavors of Islam. And he didn't tell us to choose whatever suits us. There is no carb-free Islam and fat-free Islam and light Islam and sugar-free Islam and so forth, right? There's one Islam. And that is what the Prophet ﷺ brought. Sometimes people tell me, this is America. So? Islam changes in America? There is one Islam. And that Islam is what Rasulullah ﷺ brought. There is no other Islam. That Islam is not based on geography. It is not based on culture. It is not based on race. It is not based on nationality. A lot of us bring our thoughts and our culture and stuff from within quotes back home. From the Middle East, from the Indian subcontinent and so on. And we practice those things and we think it is Islam. It is not necessarily Islam. It has to be, you have to check and see. It need not be Islam if it is some cultural thing. And just because it is a cultural thing, this is what I have been doing all my life, I do it. Leaving a habit is ibadah. Tarke adat ibadat hai. Leaving a habit is ibadah. Adi bin Hatim, radiallahu anhu, he was the son of Hatim al-Tai, the famous philosopher, poet, and the man who was known for being very, very generous. The stories about him in Arabic literature. His son Adi bin Hatim, he literally sort of, he didn't fight, but he was against Islam for almost 20 years. And then he accepted Islam in the last year of Rasulullah's life. But he used to come and visit Nabi. So he said that once he came to visit Rasulullah and he was wearing a gold cross, because he was Christian, so he was wearing a gold cross on a chain around his neck. So Rasulullah said to him, he said, throw away that idol. And then Rasulullah recited the ayat of Surah Tawbah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورحبانهم أربابا من دون الله. So Adi bin Hatim, the ayat which means that they, meaning in this case the Jews and Christians, took their rabbis and monks to be their gods, to be their arbab, besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, min dunillah. So Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu says, I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, we don't worship our priests. The Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, is it not true that you obey your priests in what is permissible and what is not, even if that is contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permissible or prohibited? Meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permitted something, but the church says, the priests and so forth, they say, no, this, you can't do that. They don't do it, even though Allah has permitted it, and vice versa. So Adi bin Hatim said, yes, that is true, we do that. Rasulullah said, that is worship. Obedience is worship. For example, pork. In the Bible, pork is clearly prohibited. There's not even an iota of doubt that pork is prohibited. But pork is the most consumed meat in the Christian world. And many such examples. The point I'm making is not about the Jews and Christians, but about us. What do we follow? Who do we follow? And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those who follow their desires instead of the orders of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them people who worship their desires. Araita mani takhada ilahahu hawa. Afa anta takunu alayhi wakila. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen him who has taken as his ilah, as his deity, his own desire? Would you then be a wakil? Would you be an intercessor, an advocate for that person? Meaning, don't do it. Do not advocate for that person. Who is that person? Somebody who is worshipping his desire. What is worship of desire? Is to choose the desire over what Allah wants. My brothers and sisters, salah is evidence that we worship only Allah. Salah is the proof of our iman, which is the first and most fundamental statement of truth. One who believes it and makes this statement and who establishes salah is a Muslim. We have only two critical needs in this life. One is guidance in this life, and the second one is forgiveness when we meet Allah. Nothing else is critical. Not wealth, not even health. Not power, not authority, not anything. Nothing is critical. Because everything we have is going to be left behind here. Your wealth, your health, you have it or don't have it, everything is left here. What goes with us is our actions. And those actions will depend on whether they were guided or misguided. So we need guidance and we need forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us salah as the asas. He gave it to us as a resource. He gave it to us as something to get support from. اُتْلُ مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْحَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ وَلَذِكْرُ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ مَا تَصْنَعُونَ. We hear part of this ayat in the Jummah khutbah as well, every Jummah, where Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah said to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he ordered him, he said, recite what has been revealed to you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, of the book, and establish a salah. And what does it do? The salah separates the one who prays from all forms of disobedience. Inna salata, inna. As-salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Salah is the tool, salah is the body armor, salah is the shield, salah is the weapon to find shaitan and to fight shaitan and all his evil. When the person stands in salah, he is standing in the presence of Allah. I told you last Jummah, I reminded myself and you, when you stand here, before you even make the knee of the salah, ask yourself, where am I standing? In front of whom am I standing? What is the state of my heart? What is the state, what is my state when I'm standing here? It's not yoga, it's not a, you know, physical exercise you are doing, sitting and standing, no. When a person is making sujood, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when a Muslim makes sajda on the ground, he is making sajda before the arsh of Allah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called the salah al-mirajul mu'min. Why? Because that is the power of the salah. Salah is the means, ta'alluq ma'allah is the goal, and tawakkul is the reward. Salah is the tool. And ta'alluq ma'allah is the goal. And when that happens, tawakkul is the reward. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Inna Allah ma'as sabirin, O you who believe, seek help in patience and salah, tools. And truly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who are the sabirin, the patient people. Sabr is to make the best effort. It is to tie the camel, to use our intelligence and creativity and strength and perseverance and influence, and then turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and beg Him for His help to make all of that work. The slave does this because he knows that all his effort will work only if Allah's decision is in his favor. He knows that nothing has any power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Why then does he work? Because that is what Allah told him to do. Ista'inu bi sabri wa salah. Allah mentioned sabr before salah. And he said that he, Jalla Jalaluhu, is with the sabirin, not simply with the musalleen. Salah and dua without effort are a sham. They are a lie. Just salah and dua without effort. You make no effort. We say, no, we are making dua. Please make dua. It is a sham. It's a sign that you are not serious about success. Effort without salah and dua is to skate on the edge of kufr. Because such people, shaitan convinces them that they are self-made. You may have heard this statement, I'm a self-made man. I was nothing, I became this. You were nothing, you are still nothing. Allah made you this. Salah saves us from that. That is the tawakkul of the heart. When the person, the safety net is the salah, that saves us from arrogance and reminds us that our effort itself was also made by the guidance and help of Allah. Then it is, and that it is only with His help that our effort can be successful. Finally, to conclude, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentioned the connection between taqwa and success. Peace of mind, tranquility and contentment. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, told us that He helps the muttaqi in ways that he cannot imagine and becomes sufficient for him. He said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah said, and whoever has taqwa, He, Jalla Jalaluhu, Allah, will make a way out for him from every difficulty. And He will provide him from sources that he could not ever imagine. And whoever puts his trust in Allah, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَزْبُ, Allah will become sufficient for him. And verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accomplish His purpose. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a measure for all things. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us His sincere ibad, His sincere slaves, who place their trust in Him alone, and who ensure that we do our best to fulfill the purpose of our creation by ensuring that we build our connection with Him through the method that He taught us, and that is salah. ربنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اهدنا في من هديت وعافنا في من عافيت وتولنا في من توليت وبارك لنا فيما أعطيت وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك فإنه لا يضل من واليت ولا يعز من عديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليت نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك اللهم رحمتك أرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين أصلح لنا شأننا كله لا إله إلا أنت ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار آمين يا رب العالمين يا عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم عدوا يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيموا الصلاة.